everybody. Frank Vespi here. Going to be joined by Gary Quill on our Off to the Races podcast, GQ's Approach. Gary is taking a little time off from his daily full card handicapping at Laurel Park, but you can look for him to return to us soon enough. But in the meantime, he's sharing with us some of the tools, tips, and techniques that he uses to suss out winners on those daily Laurel, Pimlico, and Timonium cards he loves so well. Gary, welcome.
Thanks, Frank. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing fine. It's a little cold, but, you know, we're getting by. Looking forward to racing this weekend at Laurel, where it turns out we've got about 2 million maiden races lined up, which makes today's podcast particularly timely.
Yeah, it's that time of year, I guess, the three-year-olds who haven't won their first race. If they're any good, they start to be able to show their mettle against older. And, you know, this time of year, when you're three, it's not that big of a difference. They've matured. And when you finally do get that win on the cards this time of year, you see that condition, three-year-olds or four-year-olds and up with a condition where it may be a non-winner, a two or three life, and you have a horse in there who's won four or five races, and sure enough, it's a three-year-old. So this time of year is good if you have a three-year-old versus early in the spring when it's tough for three-year-olds to run against the elders. But I digress from the topic of maidens. And I like talking about maidens because the majority of horse players kind of throw their hands up in the air and say, I don't know how to pick maidens and whatever. I don't know if they just look at it as maidens, horses who are just developing and there isn't much to go by in the form, or just the fact that they're non-winners. They've never beaten another horse. And when a maiden race takes place, one eventually will. So onward and upward with maidens, and hopefully we can enlighten some folks on how to pick out a maiden winner.
Well, that certainly is the goal anyway. And a quick definition, maidens are horses that have never won a race before. And they typically, they're sort of, in the very rough sense, two levels of maidens, maiden special weight. Those are the best maidens. And then maiden claiming. And there's a whole range of maiden claiming. But in maiden claiming, all the horses are for sale for the specified claiming price as a general rule. We'll actually talk about an exception in a couple minutes, but let's start with this. So Gary, I mean, it's widely considered among horsemen and horse players that there's a huge class gap between a maiden special weight races and maiden claiming of pretty much any flavor at a given track. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, early on, or actually for the longest while, I even kind of questioned that, because it's like, how can it be that big of a difference when you're talking, you know, the maiden specials, which means a horse of any value or ability, that's kind of the major leagues of horse racing maidens. And if the horse can't cut it or win there, horsemen will generally drop the horse into a claimer, whether it be a high claimer of in New York and Southern California. They have $80,000 to $100,000 maiden claimers, all the way down to a nickel maiden claimer at our bull rings at Charlestown or Penn National in our parts. But it's amazing, and like I said, I never really understood that it was a big drop, but the proof is in the pudding. When you look at past performances and you see a horse who has run a half a dozen times in maiden specials, hasn't done a thing, you know, been beaten double digits all the way, and the connections finally drop the horse into, say, a $25,000 maiden claimer, and all of a sudden the horse is being bet like he's Secretariat, And the horse has this, what seems to be an amazing form reversal, in that the horse really shows on the track against lesser competition that it's quite the runner. So amazingly, I guess when you're talking the major leagues of maidens, you're running against the best, or at least here. And if you're that cut below, you're going to your running line's going to show that you just don't belong. So when you finally do get that class relief and you're put in with horses of lesser caliber, that horse tends to shine. So I think when you look at a past performance, you just can't go by the running line of how bad a horse had looked. If it's in the maiden special or in the class level, it just says MDN for maiden and then 40K or whatever the purse might be. That indicates the top tier of the maidens at that particular track. So it took me a few decades to realize that it is a big class drop. How do you view it, Frank?
No, I mean, it certainly is a big class drop. And I think the key to understand is maiden races are the only races that every horse on the grounds, with the rarest of rare exceptions, will run in a maiden race. And generally will stay in maiden company until they win. So it's the only condition that every horse goes through. You know, allowance races, if a horse is really good, they might not run in allowance races. They might break their maiden and then go right in the stakes, or, you know, whatever else there is. So maiden races are the one thing where everybody comes together in the maiden races. So I think the thing you said, major leagues of maiden races, is exactly right. The maiden special weight races are populated by the best horses from the best barns on the ground. So when somebody shows up in those races, they're generally saying, I really like my horse. I think I've got a runner here, and I'm not willing to expose him to being claimed. And when you look at a place like Laurel, for example, maiden 40 is the highest claiming level. So it's the level right below maiden special weight. Horses almost never get claimed for 40,000 in Maryland, and almost never get claimed out of maiden 40s. So somebody isn't, you know, when they put a horse in maiden special, they're saying, I'm not even willing to take the chance that somebody, which never ever happens, would drop 40 on my horse. They're saying, I'm not willing to take that chance. That's how much I like this horse. And so when you have astute trainers putting horses in those races, you can feel with some confidence that they like what they see out of this horse. And, you know, so I think it really does become a pretty big class difference. And you, as you say, you've seen it all the time. These horses that really show nothing in maiden special, they drop into a maiden claiming race of almost any variety, and then they run well. And, you know, what happened? What happened is the company got easier and they felt less stress and they were able to run more freely and more confidently, and they gave a better effort because of that. And so I agree with you. It's a big difference. So now, as you're looking at these maiden races, let's talk about maiden specials for a minute. I mean, what is it that you're looking for, Gary, when you handicap a maiden special weight?
Well, with maiden specials, it all depends on the field in itself. Let's go back to kind of like the beginning of the year, when you have 2 year olds, or let's just take in general a maiden special weight race that is the majority of first time starters, horses who are making their first their racing debut. I can guarantee you all the talking heads across the country telling you that they like, whether it be on TV, podcasts, or whatever, they don't know a hill of beans about how the horse is training, the workouts, or whatever. All they're going by is if they can tell the difference between a 5% trainer who can get a first-time starter to the winner's circle or a 30% trainer, that's the horse they're going to tout. And for some reason, those percentages work out. in that some trainers typically they just train their horses up and they believe that give the horse a race, they know the horse isn't in its top form, and just use their first race as experience builder and get given the horse an education. And there's a lot of trainers who don't have double-digit win percentages when the horse is debuting in their career, but you look at their second start and they do real well. I believe either Gary or Dale have a
Sorry,
really good.
Gary, you're getting a little fuzzy there.
Uh-oh, can you
Are
hear
you
me
moving
now?
around?
No. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, you're fine now.
Oh, okay. Sorry. So a lot of times you look at those statistics because, or you just get to know the trainers on the circuit who send first-time starters out for an education, or just to see what type of horse they think they have. They don't want to shortchange the horse. Maybe the horse in the morning doesn't give the best effort, or whatever they've tried in the morning, they just don't know what to expect from the horse in the afternoon. So they'll put it in a maiden special, figuring, why not shoot for the moon and see what happens. And then the next time out, depending on how that horse runs in that maiden special or what their real expectations were, they might drop it down. But that's it. Sometimes that's flag that you see a horse debuted in a maiden special and it didn't do very well. Ran dull or just seemed to be outclassed. The horse immediately comes into maiden claimers. To me, that's kind of a red flag, meaning that they really never thought much of the horse in the first place, but they just threw it in a maiden special. Or maybe they didn't know anything about the horse and they just threw it in a maiden special to see how it would run. To give up on a horse that quickly tells me that they didn't think that much of a horse of the horse in the first place.
Well, and I think you've just touched on something important when you're handicapping maiden races, which is understanding sort of trainer competence, trainer tendencies, trainer intentions become something that's really important. You can find, for example, if you're, some other races, further conditions, a horse has run 10 times, 20 times, whatever, you can usually look and say, whatever this trainer, he is what he is, the trainer, but I can tell what this horse is based on the form that he's established. But the train, who the trainer is and how they do with first starts, second starts, whatever, is something that obviously becomes really important when handicapping maiden races.
Exactly. And when I was talking about dropping a horse down quickly, lacking the confidence in the horse that the horse has the ability to be able to compete and maybe just get, the horse didn't get an education in its first race, that it truly is a cut below the highest class level and belongs in shorter maiden claiming. But speaking of maiden claimings and either just starting off in the horse's first race for a tag for a price, whether it be 40,000 or 5,000, for the longest while, I just would look at first time starters in a maiden claiming race and just draw a line through them, because and that I would not recommend that as a blanket handicapping angle, because my thought used to be, if they think so much of the horse, then why are they offering it up? Obviously, it takes a lot of effort and money to get a horse to its first race, and you're going to put a horse in and offer this horse up for $16,000 the first time it goes to the track. To me, as a horse player, that doesn't give me a warm and fuzzy feeling that that horse is worth 16,000 and will
Right.
win, you know, draw off by five, and all of a sudden people were scratching their head, figuring out why didn't I play that horse, while the trainer's probably scratching his or her head also, saying, how did we underestimate this horse's ability? But to contradict what I just said about not being a blanket type of, you know, thing, if a horse was purchased at auction for $100,000 and they're offering him for $20,000 his first time, I feel pretty confident that I would book any win bets on that horse.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I think, and it's a key difference, I think, between maiden special and maiden claiming. I would not toss a first starter in a maiden special weight race. I would look at, you know, I mean, you might in any given race, but as a general rule, if you've got a nicely bred horse in a maiden special from a good barn, it's been training well, every reason to think that horse is live. On the other hand, when they show up in maiden claiming, whereas I might not give an edge to a horse that's run in a maiden special, I generally would in a maiden claiming, unless these are horses that have run and proven that they aren't good enough to win at whatever level they're at,
right.
in which case then you look at first starters. But I would hold being a first starter against a horse in a maiden claiming race generally in a way that I would not in a maiden special.
Oh, definitely. And some people will look at maiden claimers and will use a first time starter and basically say, well, the other ones have proven they're bad, this one hasn't yet. So that's one way to look at it.
True, in a case where that's true, then I think you do use a first starter. I mean, if you've got a horse that's run, if all the other horses have run five times for maiden 16 and they've never come in better than fourth, and you got a first starter and it's a maiden 16, well, you might as well take the first starter, because all the others have legitimately proven that they can't win that race. Some one of them might, but they've proven that they can't. So you might as well take the first starter. But I think that it's sort of the converse or whichever that word is there. But, you know, you're taking the negative of the case there, whereas I think in a maiden special, I will look and say, does this horse who's a first starter, does he make a case for himself? Is he well-bred? Is he out of a good barn? Does he train well? You know, is there any chatter about him? Does he have siblings that won early? You know, can this horse make a case for himself to win this race? Whereas in a maiden claiming race, I would be looking at the opposite of that. Do the other horses in the race that have already run made the case that they really shouldn't win this race, in which case it opens the door.
Right. And going back to your point as far as making a case, or you would definitely consider using a first timer in a maiden special. To me, that is typically the only time I'll look at a first timer. And I actually, when I just browse over the horses in a race where there's first timers and horses with a few starts, I'll look at the first timers first. The first thing I look at is their workout pattern. It doesn't have to be bullets across the way, but there's a specific pattern that I like to see. I have zero statistics on whether or not this works out or whatever, but typically, and a lot of trainers follow this pattern where, you know, they have the condition book. They see, over the next couple of months, a race that this horse will fit in, whether it's a maiden special on the turf sprinting, going long sprinting or a mile or whatever. They'll look at that race on what day it's going to be run, and they'll set the pattern of workouts every 6 to 8 days leading up to that race. And to me, a workout pattern that's evenly spaced, regardless of what bullets or not, is huge. And I love to see a horse finish up their workout with a breeze from the gate, and to have at least one other breeze from the gate somewhere in their previous pattern. And speaking of workouts, there's a fine line between how many workouts is enough. It's hard to believe, you know, it's hard to believe when you see a first timer that has one workout published. It's hard, you know, it's hard for me to believe that this horse has only, had one official breeze in his or her training, and then now all of a sudden is going to go in the gate and break with about a half a dozen or more other horses. I like to see a happy medium where, the racing form or Brisnet, all your past performances will span two rows of workouts. Probably you get about six or seven on each line. If you have a first-time starter that both lines are filled with workouts, that might actually be a little yellow flag that, you know, that horse is behaving badly in the morning, or there just is something that isn't making this horse ready to give its best effort in the when it makes its debut. So, to me, a full workout tab shown is somewhat of a negative, along with a single workout. But a half a dozen or more evenly spaced, with the last one being from the gate, to me gets an A plus as far as preparing this horse for its debut.
Yeah, another thing I like to see out of the works is sort of increasing distance. You know, a lot of times you'll see a horse that has three and four furlongs. I like to see a five furlong work in there.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that kind of progression, three, then four, then five. It speaks to a little bit more fitness, and I think you're right. You know, when you see a horse that has eight bazillion works on the page, you start to wonder, does this mean that the light bulb just hasn't gone on yet? And,
right.
You know, the horse just doesn't quite get it. And so we're entering him now because he's never going to be fitter than he is today, but he still doesn't know what he's doing. So I think that's certainly a fair point. Now, let me ask you this. I mean, what about a horse's debuting at a route distance? How do you look at that?
You must be psychic. I was ready to ask you the same opinion. The old school of thought is that a horse cannot win, you know, going a route of distance the first time out. I've always asked, why not? You know, have zero speed, but give them at least a mile and a 16th or more, and they run very well. So why, you know, looking at the opposite, it's like most maidens are sprints, okay? Five and a half, six furlongs. Well, if a horse gets a bad start, the race is over. It's kind of lost its race. The group that I'm involved in, we have a horse who is 0-12, and on Monday goes for lucky number 13. She went off as the favorite in her last race. The distance was shorter than she likes, and the gates opened, and she went down to her knees, and the jock almost came off, and she spotted the field about seven lengths, and she still wound up third. So I've seen other replays of races where horses have kind of blown the brake, or, you know, broken air, gone a route of distance and have prevailed. So I really kind of laugh in the face of a horse going a route of distance first time out. It is not a winning move. But it seems like there's more and more of those you see on the turf than on the dirt. Seen a ton of horses in their past performance line, mile and an eighth, mile and a 16th, first time out, and maybe not winning, but still doing well. So, to me, a distance is not a negative for a first timer, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I take the exact opposite approach. I
Oh,
think it
okay.
is a negative for me.
All right.
Except, and the one thing I would say is you got to look at who the trainer is. And
Right.
does this trainer have a record of being able to get horses to win first out of the box going around a ground?
Sure.
And if they do not, then I hold it against them because I think to me, you're asking a horse to do a whole bunch of new things when they race for the first time. And if you're making them race around two turns, that's another one. And I feel like it tends to be too much for horses and the fitness. You know, a lot of horses need that race for fitness. They need it for education. I feel like it's a lot. So I generally will hold it against them unless you're talking about a trainer who has demonstrated the ability to do that.
And, you know, maybe the fact of the matter is, for the most part, horses are not ready to go around a ground their first time because generally all of their works are at 3 and 4 furlongs. But if you do see a first timer who's actually had a 6 furlong work and they're starting out going two turns, that's a definite plus. And, you know, speaking of going around a ground for the first time on Sunday in the first race, it's 1/16 for the $40,000 maiden claiming, and the two horse R Flashy One out of Claudio Gonzalez barn gets Elvis Trujillo up. Is that news? Is Elvis coming down for the winter to ride at Maryland? I've seen he's got a half a dozen or more mounts.
It looks that way, yeah. I don't know the whole story there, but it certainly looks that way.
Okay, so it's interesting. Here's the it's a 2-year-old gelding going two turns. It's a 7-horse field. He's the only first timer in there. Claudio is 0-for-1 with debuters going a mile or more. And oddly enough, as successful as Claudio is, high 20% win percentage, he's only 7% with 2-year-olds. So it's a interesting double negative, I guess you consider, Frank. And the horse has turned in 1 5-furlong work two works back, but the horse doesn't really have an outstanding distance pedigree to think that the horse is going to be successful first time out. But maybe since the horse has been working regularly, Claudio had him up at Presque Isle during that meet, and then brought him home to lovely Laurel to finally have his debut.
Yeah, I mean, I would look at that as a horse that I would have probably a hard time backing. I don't know. I guess the odds aren't up yet, but in general, I'd probably have a hard time backing because I think a lot of the guys like Claudio, who have been over the years primarily claiming trainers, a lot of those guys don't do great with 2-year-olds, don't do great with horses going around a ground, going around a ground on turf.
Right.
You know, because a lot of claiming races are on the dirt. A lot of them are 6, 7 furlongs or a flat mile. And so you got kind of a lot of things. I don't know that this is the greatest turf breeding either. And this is another race where you'd look at and you'd say, well, have some of these shown some ability to compete with these kinds of horses? And I think you'd have to say, yeah, a couple of these have. And so for me, I'd be more inclined to look at, even a horse like the one horse from the Shrew Meaning, who was just third against these kind of horses last out, you know, has a couple of routes in his background, has shown her background as it happened. I'm looking at the wrong race. I'm all confused here.
That's all right.
But,
You were all set to to talk about all the Friday maiden
plethora. Yeah, I got the Friday
maidens,
card right.
And I said, well, there's a couple on Sunday that are interesting. So,
but yeah, and you've them. Got, but you know, you've got what's going to be, I guess, the three horse there, Taxable Goods, was second against maiden 40s on debut, ran pretty credibly in the first day dash, then was nowhere in the Maryland Million, now dropping back into claiming company. You know, that's a horse that I would look at as a more likely winner, although I don't necessarily like going around the ground for it with its breeding, but that looks to me like a more likely winner than a first starter out of Claudio's barn in this circumstance.
Right. Now you're much better at bloodlines than I, but it's funny that this is the first time this horse is going to route a ground. And I always used to love street magician horses or offspring who first time go in two turns. Whether that's just dumb luck on my part, but it always seems like street magician offspring seem to do better when they're given a more route of a ground. So obviously the dam side has something to say about that. And like you said, the distance breeding is not off the charts. So, but still an
now,
angle
that
I like to
look at. Street Magician was a sprinter, and I think really his best offspring have been grass sprinters.
Grass
actually.
Sprinters, right.
But,
yeah.
But which is what makes the going two turns here a little bit of a dicey proposition. But and you have other places to look. So, I mean, that's certainly not the only horse in here that you could look at. But, the horse I assume will be the favorite is the Bales horse, Yes Means No, who was just second against these sorts of horses.
Yes. Since it's only 7 horse field, there really isn't much to look at. But even though you're on the wrong race, you can. I
never
think
stopped
you
me
still,
before.
I think you could still like the one horse, Stunning Baby. Interesting enough, Alan Goldberg, who is just a mere 1 for 19 at the meet, which is very unusual for him. Interesting race where this horse back at the beginning of October debuted in a sprint on the turf, broke slow, was wide, made up about, had some late interest, very little late interest, but made up some ground. And while getting some play at the windows at 6-1, now comes back on dirt, going a distance, and has the statistics to say he's going to be a player. Alan Goldberg, maiden to maiden claiming, 33% with a positive ORI. Turf to dirt, same deal, 25%. So that's where these, looking at the percentages on these angles, come into play. And an angle which has nothing to do with maidens, but this is why I love to do my handicapping without the morning line, is because it has jockeys who have, more than one mount in the race. And you can see, or as you handicap, you can try and figure out where they're going to go. Toledo, heavy on Toledo, is also listed on Platinum Pound, the 4-horse. Rode that horse on the flop in an off-the-turf event. Ran decent, and now is listed as a gelding. Whether or not that horse was gelded since its last start is a big question mark.
No, he appears to have been gelded since his last start. He's listed in the form
okay.
of the first gelding.
Right, but it's semantics with that. And here's I'll get on my soapbox about the fact that, they finally, before they started putting in the form, that horse has been gelded. You know, it was like an angle. Oh, you'd hear the announcer that day say the 4 platinum pound was gelded. At that time, when they did the announcing, they would say gelded since his last start. Whereas I believe it's that the horse has been reported as a gelding since his last start. That doesn't necessarily mean that the horse was gelded. You would hope that that was the case, but I believe that that's the fine line, and that's the problem with this reporting criteria now, that doesn't necessarily mean the horse was gelded. You would hope that would be the case, but I just think that that was a hot angle. Everybody, before it was reported in the past performances, everybody be like, oh, this horse is gelded since the last start. And I was one who I would always throw the horse in my trifectas or exactas. And typically the horse always did improve to the point of at least getting a share. You know what? I would love to see, or if I had enough energy, go back and see horses who have been reported as gelded since their last start. How many of those who have done well? I actually really haven't seen the percentages like they were when it was kind of hush-hush, or it wasn't out there for all to see. So that's just my viewpoint of the gelded situation.
All right, we're going to cut you off on gelded. We're done with the gelded topic.
Oh. Okay, Derby Bill has made an appearance.
Exactly. We need to talk about beer and crab cakes now. All right, so let's put this maiden conversation to bed here. So in a nutshell, when you open and you see a maiden race, in the two sentence nutshell, I am looking at this and I am thinking, what?
I am thinking, if it's a maiden special, I'm looking at first timers, looking for a good pattern. A lot of the handicappers, they look for the ones who, and I never understood this.
You only have
this.
Two sentences here. You can't go off on
two. I'm sorry. Okay, I'll save that for another day. As far as maiden specials, I like to see the first timers with a good work pattern. Other than that, I like to see horses who have run against winners who've come back to win. Obviously, that's noted by the italics. Just the company that they've kept. Just because they've run in maiden specials doesn't mean that it's the cream of the crop. Now, as far as maiden claimers, it's all about moving up and down in class. Forever you see horses and maiden claimers running at the same level and constantly running third, second, fourth at that level as class droppers come down and wind up winning at that level. So with maidens, some, just like Jackie Savoy's Major Anthem, they're destined to be maidens for their lifetime. And I never understood, even though a horse may look like
the
best.
Longest two sentences of all
it's
time.
It's a run-on sentence. some horses just are not destined to win. They are pack followers, and you have to recognize that. So with those two sentences, I bid you adieu.
All right, so Gary has two very long sentences, but the gist of it is you can include firsters in maiden special weight, but generally not outside of maiden special weight, and pay attention to class movement, especially among maiden claiming and in maiden special weight, but in both levels, really. Look for the quality of company they kept, and did horses come out of those races to win next out?
Definitely.
All right. I would add one other factor. You got to pay more attention, even than in other races, to the trainers here in maiden races. I think trainers, where trainers are putting horses tells you a lot. When you trust the trainer as an astute judge of talent, tells you a lot about what they think about the horse. And, of course, the other factor that we really didn't touch on, except very briefly, which is pedigree. And pedigree is particularly important in maiden special weight races, where you're looking, how does it fit turf? How does it fit going around of ground? Is it a win early kind of pedigree? Those are all kind of questions that you're going to want to look. But I have grown to think that trainers are ultimately more important in maiden special weight. Not that they're magicians or can manipulate the world to their outcome, but because where they're putting horses tells you what they think about those horses. And when you trust them, you need to trust that they're making judgments that based on data that you don't have.
That's for sure. And that's what a lot of us have to rely on, just knowing the trainer and their tendencies.
All right, that seems like a good place to wrap it up. That is our conversation about maidens here for Friday, the 17th of November, here on Off to the Races. Gary Quill, thank you so much.
Thank you, Frank. And maybe with a parting shot on a possible tease for our next podcast, maybe look at change as a topic. Change of jockey, change of equipment, change of anything usually makes a horse a winner.
All right. That sounds like a good place to go for next time. We will be talking about change. You heard it from the horse player's mouth. Gary Quill has joined me. My name is Frank Vespi. You're listening to the Off to the Races podcast, GQ's Approach. Thanks so much for taking the time. You can follow racing and breeding from the Mid-Atlantic and beyond every day on theracingbiz.com. And check back with us in a week for our next podcast. Thanks so much. Have a great week, everybody. Good luck at the windows.